You guys doing okay? You excited to be here? I'm excited to be here, amen? Where the world is just freaking out, we are just taking deep breaths. Thank you, Jesus. God is on the throne, right? He's loving us. He's taking care of us because we're serving him, amen? Do you know it's not guaranteed that you're going to walk in the perfect will of God just because you're a believer? Just because you love God? Just because you come to church? You have to choose it on purpose. Did you know that? You have a part to play in this thing we call life, right? And we're going to give an account for the part we play when we stand before our Creator. So we can't just lay back and just say whatever comes, comes, and however it happens, happens. That's not Christianity. That's not Bible-believing Christians. He told us we've got to go after and get some stuff. We've got to follow after him and listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. That's why he's in the earth, amen? So we can hear him and do what he's telling us to do. So we stop making mistakes and doing dumb stuff. Yeah? Amen. God is good. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we have moments like this where the Lord just wants to minister and to do some stuff, it's important that whether it's speaking to you directly or not, that you're still in faith for those that he's speaking to. Amen? And so, you know, when we're praying, you're praying. You're praying for your brothers and sisters that are up here receiving something from the Lord. Amen? It's important that we stay engaged in that moment. That is not the moment where we want to check out mentally. We want to stay engaged in what the Holy Spirit's doing because there's going to be a time when it's your time to be up here. And your family behind you is praying for you. Amen? So stay connected with that. Also, when there's a word that comes forth and somebody is prompted by the Holy Spirit to share something from their spirit, amen, you listen to your own spirit. For two reasons. One, you're checking on the inside. Does that bear witness with me? Right? Is that for me? Is he talking to me? And two, did I get the same thing? Because you're full of God too. You have the Holy Spirit too. He'll talk to you the same way. Right? And we're trying to grow and develop as believers where it's not just one and two people that are doing all the words from the Lord, but y'all are rising up. Y'all are here. Hey, I know what that sounds like. I've heard that before. I had the same thing. You may not have said it the same way, but you had the same thing on the inside. And so that's the Spirit of God prompting you in your spirit. You are getting this. You're tuning in. You're hearing. And you're going to have a gift that needs to come out of you for the body of Christ. Because we can all do these things. The Holy Spirit's prompting us and teaching us. That's what this is. We're in faith school. We're learning. We're growing right now. Amen? So check your heart when that stuff comes up. Did I get that? Did I have that same nudge? That same prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak out, to share, to encourage, to exhort. Amen? Am I talking to some believers? Come on, we believe this stuff, right? This is in the book. Amen? Amen? This is how we do it. We learn it. We see it. We emulate it. Amen? Okay. So don't just sit back and rest and, we'll just let the people. We'll let them do it. Come on, we're participants. We're not just consumers, right? We're contributors to this thing we call the body of Christ. Every part has its function and its place. Amen? All right. Getting a lot of nods. So you're agreeing good.
Yes.
Okay. You guys ready? You okay?
Ready.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Got a couple things to cover, as usual. Everybody got their ballots? Yeah? Anybody not get their ballots yet? Just a couple. Okay, she's waiting. West Side's a little slower right now. You'll get it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's in there. So, again, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about elections. And the church has missed this for a couple of decades, where we just haven't spoken about it. And we're not going to do that anymore. We're in a pivotal time, right before the Lord comes back. And we need as much freedom in this country as possible so we can continue to preach the gospel around the world. Amen? Do you have any idea? I mean, if you just look up statistics, the United States of America sends more money to missions around the world by far than any other country in the world. And it's not even close. It's like 100 or a couple hundred times the closest country. Why is that? Because we are a prosperous nation. Because we're built on a capitalistic society. It is not evil to be capitalist. It has provided an incredible opportunity for the America. Yes, greed flourishes and abounds. But guess what? You can be dirt poor and be the greediest person on the planet. Did you know that? So the amount of money that you have does not eradicate greed from you. But when we're prosperous, we can be a blessing to others. And that's what we're doing as the United States of America, is we are funding the gospel. And there's lots of other ills that come with that. There is evil that comes from being prosperous. Nobody's denying that. But there is great benefit to the kingdom of God working in the United States. Because there are people that are hearing the gospel that would never hear had we not sent. Do you know that? I'm getting less nods than the last nod I got. And so we're believing God to keep our country prosperous and fruitful, because there is a harvest to come in, and it takes money. It requires people to go. You know that? So that's why God has blessed us. We are the richest people on the planet. Did you know? Have you ever looked at that? I mean, if you make more than 30 grand a year, you are in the top 1% of the planet. So there's something for us to do. There's something else to believe God for, amen? And our country's important. What we believe, what we vote for is important. And we cannot abdicate our voting rights. So I want to point out just a couple of things since we're here, okay? If your ballot's already gone, it's gone. But if it's still here and you're thinking and you're stewing and you're trying to process and figure it out, I have a couple places for you to look at so you can get your head around who we're voting for. Can I make suggestions? I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you where to look to find out what's going on. Real life stuff. Amen? So there's this website called iVoterGuide.com. Have you guys found that at all? Yes. It is a conservative website, but it does lay out questions to the candidates that they can respond to on this questionnaire. It's the same for all of them. And based on their answers, they can they have a little meter on the page. You put in your zip code, and it'll bring up your ballot and who you're supposed to be voting for. It'll give you a little meter on whether they're liberal or whether they're conservative. And you can tell whether this person votes or promotes conservative values or liberal values. You can see this for yourself. It's important to recognize this stuff. And then look at the questions and how they answered the questions. You guys go do this. Amen? Amen. You guys go look at this and see how they just gave them stock questions. Right? And their questions meant to root out, what do you believe in? What's on your heart? What do you stand for? And how they answer is very telling. Amen? Amen. So go to that website, iVoterGuide.com, and look at it, read it, do your homework. It'll tell you about the candidates. Everybody good? Now, on our ballot, I want to make you guys aware so that you have all your options in front of you when you make your decision. There is a candidate for lieutenant governor in our state that is not on the ballot. Because our state changed legislation so that the top two vote getters in the primary are on the ballot, not two representative parties or three, just the top two vote getters. So if the top two Republicans get all the votes, there's only two Republicans to pick from on the ballot. Same is true for the Democratic Party. Now, we had this happen in our lieutenant governor race. The top two are only Democrats. And one, this is their own words, one only votes all the way with AOC in our Senate, and one only votes all the way with Nancy Pelosi. Those are the two choices we have. 100%, that's who they pick. But there's a third option, if you didn't know this, because you can write in your own candidate. You can put in, SpongeBob SquarePants, if you wanted to. I suggest you put in somebody that's a viable candidate. Now, I met with this guy. His name's Joshua Freed. We got to meet him, hear his heart, talk about what he wants to do in the country. This position in our state is very, very important. He's the president residing over legislation, which means bills that come to legislation go through the lieutenant governor. That means they either get shelved or they come to the floor. One of the bills that came through in the middle of the night that went to the shelf, came off the shelf and went through and passed between midnight and 2:30 in the morning while you were sleeping, was the sex education bill for the schools. Did you know that? They passed that in the middle of the night. You want to know why? Because nobody would approve it in the daytime. That's the problem. So that kind of stuff doesn't happen when you have a lieutenant governor that loves Jesus. So you decide. You can write them in. And there's a massive grassroots campaign that's an option. So I'm just giving you your options. You can decide who you want to vote for. I promise you this. We will stand before God for who we vote for. If you think that's just a sidebar, you are incorrect. Amen? Because it's what you support. It's what you put your name on. It's what you put your money toward. That's what's happening when we vote. Okay. I love you. You know I love you. That's why I'm telling you this stuff. Amen? Because there's just not a lot of people who will tell this to you. But we will stand before God for our choices. So choose wisely, as they say in Indiana Jones. Choose wisely. So that's one option too. Also, I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. One is, I just printed this off of the White House's website that just lists the accomplishments of our current administration, because nobody else is doing that. Nobody else is listing the 6 pages of the accomplishments of our current administration in the White House, the things that we hold valuable as Christians. I encourage you to go find that and read it. Some of it's just braggadocious, but we can expect that, right? But a lot of it's spot on. So pay attention. Okay, everybody okay? You got to still love me anyway. That's what the Bible says. I brought a couple of copies of, it's on the voter.votewa.gov, and you should write these things down to go look at them. But I brought some copies so you can look this over, and you can even write down the website. I'm going to leave it in the back for you so that you can look these over. But it talks about the referendums, because there's more than just people we're voting on. There's referendums in this thing. Now, one I want you to pay the most attention to, all of them are important, and you can find out what they recommend, conservative-wise, what they recommend, what the bill is actually doing, what it's going to cost us money-wise. Most of them, they pass legislation that's going to cost us billions of dollars in taxes over the next 10 years, and they pass all these things in the middle of the night during special session. So if they do that and we catch it, we can get signatures, and then we can remove that referendum and put it on the ballot where we can actually vote on it. So there's a bunch of referendums. What that means is that we're saying, if we approve this referendum, we're saying, yes, what the legislation did in the middle of the night, we're okay with that. Go ahead and let that through. But if we reject it, then it is not legislation, and now it comes to a vote of the people. Do you guys understand that? So it's important that you understand that before you just check or approve, because some people are going to read this referendum 90 and say, this is the comprehensive sex education bill, and this would require schools in districts to adopt or develop consistent with state standards, comprehensive age-appropriate, 6-year-olds, sexual health education as defined for all students and excuse students if their parents request. So we don't want parents to have to excuse their kids from anything that's at the school because it's so vile. Right? We don't want that. So the goal is to reject that referendum. That's what we're trying to do. We do not want comprehensive sex education for 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds. I can say that pretty clearly from up here. That is horrible. It's horrible. It's awful. It's a tool of the evil one. Let's just put it there. So make sure you're paying attention to how you're voting. Amen? So I'm going to leave these in the back. And then the page I lost, I need to give that to you. Can you just hold that? I need copies of that. Whenever. Just by the end. Yeah, thanks. That's my notes from 2 weeks ago when I talked about the validity of the Bible. Several of you have asked for the stats that I gave, the documentation and the attestation of the Bible, that it is extremely valid in the age that we live in. When people say, that's just made up of a bunch of fables, it is not. It's actually proven by historic record, by far. And so I put in my notes on that page so you can see. And you can go look, I didn't make any of these figures up. You can go find them all online. They are there where people have done the homework and done the research to prove that our Bible is historically accurate. And therefore, because it's so accurate, we can trust it, because there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there too where we know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to men and women of faith and they have written down what God has said and we can trust it. Amen? So vote. All right. I'll leave these in the back too, so that you guys can look those over. I will say this. I want you to pray before you vote. And don't get all twisted up over this election. Because it's real easy to follow the Holy Spirit and do what you're told. Because once you do that, you've obeyed. Amen? And now we pray. When you obey and you follow God, you have done your job. Now we pray. Amen? So we pray first. Lord, how do you want me to vote? What does this look like? Right? And even in this room, now hear me now, hear my heart. I want you to hear my heart. Even in this room, there's a term called conscientious objectors, right? Either I won't vote because I can't do either, or I'm going to vote for a party that is far enough down the line that there's really not a chance. And I want to caution you on that, because you can't abdicate from your responsibilities, right? You got to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And we've got to keep our country in the direction that it's going. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff that's going wrong. There's a lot of stuff that's not right. We got to follow God. Amen?
Amen?
So pray and hear from God and vote. Okay, I'm done with that. Thank you, Jesus. You guys ready for some word? Thank you, Lord. Making our case for Christ. We've got to make our case for Christ. Did you know that? People are going to ask us of the hope that's inside of us. And Paul even mentioned, he said, be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you. That means be prepared. Hear from God. Study to show thyself approved. Amen? Know something about what you believe more than, well, you just got to believe. And that's true. We do just have to believe. We have to take God at his word and believe what he said. That's 100% accurate. But there's proof in the Bible that can quell any argument. You really can. There's a whole bunch of people that have been swayed in directions, one way or the other. And listen, this is coming from the preacher's kid, all right? If anybody had a chance to test the waters, come on, preacher's kids, they're a mess. Right? I mean, statistically speaking, we're the ones that go off the rails. We're the one that have to set sail to the seas. Come on. Got to sail your vessel. We're the ones that you know, can have the opportunities to backslide. But by the grace of God, I never had and took that opportunity. Now, I attribute that to a lot of different things. One is a praying mama, right? And two is my parents lived their beliefs at church and at home. Now, you're going to have to do the same thing. You can't be one way at church and one way at home. Kids see through that so fast. Are you kidding me? They might not have the word hypocrite on their tongue, but they know what it is. You got to live this at home too. You got to go to God in prayer first at home too. You got to spend time in the word at home too. Come on, it's not just enough to say an amen here. You've got to prove it at home when your kids are watching. Amen. That's part of the reason why I didn't go out and sow my oats. I had seen that done. It doesn't work. I've seen what works. Following God works. Being faithful when it's hard works. Trusting in him when it's tough works. It's not always easy, but it works. Amen? So the world's looking to us to live it. Because they got lots of friends that go to church. Come on, but they just drink and swear and watch all the stuff they do. They do all the same stuff. What? How are we different? What does it look different? What's our convictions? Tells a lot. Amen? So that when you have words of power from the Holy Spirit to speak into their lives, they know there's something different about you. Maybe I should listen. Amen? Because if you're just like them, that's like getting advice from your seventh grade buddies. What do they know? I'm going to ask them anyway, but what do they know? Right? We saw that the Bible's historical accuracy shows us that events, dates, timelines, they're all confirmed. They're all confirmed. Noah's Ark, we found it. Red Sea crossing, found the chariot wheels. This is all, it's all backed up by modern day National Geographic. You can go see this stuff. Google it. It's amazing. How do we not believe in a creator that told us about Noah's Ark thousands of years ago and we find it today? Right? It's a deceit of the enemy. It's in Ogri, Turkey, on Ogri Mountain, Noah's Ark. There's a visitor center beside it. They sell gifts in the gift shop. I saw Noah's Ark. How do we not believe in a creator that's proven to us that what he said was true and real and right, and we can see it today? Come on, it's a great argument. And then we talked about the validity of the New Testament writings because of the scope in which they wrote. And how soon it was that the events happened and they wrote it down. We can trust what they said. That's historical proof that we have truth. When the gap between when the event happened and when they wrote it down gives us some validity. It gives us some strength and truth to what's been said. And that's happened in the New Testament. They've proven it over and over. Amen? There's no document like our Bible that can prove history to be true like any other document. There's not another one in the world by far. by far, our Bible proves itself to be true and accurate. Amen? So we can trust it. We don't just trust little parts and little pieces. We trust it all because God is big and he's good and he tells us the truth. Amen? Amen. And be careful with stuff like the Apocrypha. You guys heard of that? The canon that was added by the Catholic Roman Catholic Church in 300 AD. Come on, hundreds of years after Jesus lived, they added stuff to it. They added things like Jesus' early life and how he built clay birds and then turned them to life. It's all false. It is truly fables. So be careful what you listen to and what you read. Amen? We have a book and it's right and we can read it and we can trust it. Let's do that. Amen? Other religions started just in the last couple of years, said they have replaced the Bible with other books. The book of, you know it, right? It's a replacement. How is that even possible? Amen? Know what you believe and know why you believe it. Study to show yourself approved. Having those tools will absolutely give you the ability to speak into people's lives where God could not use you before. Now he's prepared you. Now you've prepared your heart where you have access to people you did not have before because you have prepared. Do you see that? That's why he told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. We proved last week that everything about Christianity hinges on Jesus rising from the dead. Everything about it, right? And we can prove it by the empty tomb. It's proven that he was shown to over 500 people and more in bodily form. We have record of it in the Bible and outside of the Bible. Jesus showed up. I saw him. They could not refute it. There were so many witnesses. They couldn't refute it. If Jesus was still in the grave, they would have gone right to the grave and go, he's not alive. These guys are preaching. They're crazy. He's right here. We have his grave. They couldn't find him. Imagine the turmoil of trying to find a dead body like never before for the Pharisees and the Romans. They were both searching hard, and they were really good at finding dead people. I'm just telling you, they knew where they were. They knew how to find them. They knew how to kick down doors. If they could have produced a body, they would have produced a body. They're safe. They're fine. That's just Chris. That's the youth pastor just getting them all. I'm ready, right round, baby, right round. Okay, just let them do their thing. They're getting Jesus while they're screaming. We can prove it by the empty tomb. We can prove it by the witnesses that saw him. And we can prove it by the absolute invigoration of the disciples, where they were convicted beyond measure up to the point of death where they said, Jesus is the Messiah. He's alive. I saw him die. I watched him and saw him alive. I touched him. I ate with him. He's alive. He's the risen Savior. Come on. Nobody dies with that kind of conviction on a lie. Not one. And they all died with that conviction. That tells us something. There's validity in that Jesus died and rose again. Amen? We serve the risen Savior, and we're the only ones that can boast it. We're the only ones. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You guys okay? Verse 15. Thank you, Lord. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you with a reason for the hope. So let me read this again. Sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Come on, this is an admonition to us from Peter. To be ready to give the defense of the hope that's in you. Are you going to be able to give it a defense to the hope that's in you if you're sad all the time? Come on, where's the hope? The world sees this every day. Sad folk. Sad Christians. Come on, let it not be so in my house. Come on, we have something to smile about every single day. On Halloween, which is not the devil's day, because he doesn't get one of them. Not one. They're all God's days. Every single one of them. On April 15th, you can be excited to serve Jesus when you write that check. I found it's better to write checks to the IRS than to get money back. don't you just think about that for 2 seconds? Somebody needed to hear that. I'm just saying, you could be happy all the time. You could be happy all the time. And somebody's going to go, why are you happy? Don't you know what's going on? There's protesters and elections and corruption and asteroids that are barely missing the planet every week. What's going on? Why are you happy? Because I have a hope on the inside of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And he's coming back for me. And he can come back for you too. Because he loves you and he died for you. So that you could walk before him, righteous and sin free. Somebody should ask you at least once this week, why are you happy? What is the matter with you? But David had to stir himself up. David went through some rough stuff. His whole family was kidnapped at one point. He lost a child. He murdered somebody to cover up adultery. I mean, he went through some stuff. And he had to encourage himself in the Lord and say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Christ in you. Come on, the anointed one. And his anointing is in you and on you. You got to stir yourself up. And that's not easy to do when you're facing challenges, when your body hurts, and your checkbook is slowly diminishing. But you got to stir yourself up and speak to these things. And it can be done. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Of course it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And I have just tons of happy people all the time in here. But I know life gets on us, right? I know it. I know it. We all deal with stuff. We still got to find the smile. We still got to put on the garment of praise when you don't feel like it. And you get up and you shake yourself off and you do a little dance. Thank you, Lord, I'm good. God is good. I don't care what it looks like, I'm good. God is good. He's in me. Right. Whom shall I fear? He's working when I'm sleeping. He's working on my behalf because God is good. Yay, the hope that's in you should shine out. Amen. Everyone has a story. There's hope in you, and somebody asks, what's going on? Why is there hope? Why are you happy? Why? Every one of us has a story. How did God get a hold of me? I was raised in church. Come on, that's rough. I mean, they'll just kill you and say, God did it. God told them to do it. You think being in a gang's tough? It's tough being raised in church. But I have a story to tell, even though I was raised in church. My story impacts people. That your kids can be raised in church and serve God all their lives. Make their mistakes. Come on, I made plenty. Plenty. But they can still follow God through it all. That's my testimony. Yours might be different. You might be a total knothead. A rascal for most of your life and found Jesus toward the end. But you have a testimony that the grace of God is good. And he never stops pursuing you. So you gotta have this testimony in you that you can share when somebody asks you for the hope. Man, Jesus set me free. I don't live in condemnation anymore. I used to just be anxious and depressed and upset. My reality and the paradigm that I believe that God didn't exist just didn't jive with everything that I see. The creation of everything that we see points to a creator. And I saw that with everything that's in me. And he rescued me. And he cleaned me. And he washed me. And he made me brand new. And then he adopted me into his family. And nobody can take me out. There's a hope in you. Amen? What's your story? We have to develop and think about these things so that we're ready when somebody asks, why are you hopeful? Because of Jesus. That's the only way you can have hope in this earth. There is such a thing as immortality. You will live forever. You choose where you live. Hell is no place for humans. It wasn't built for you. It's built for the enemy. And yet people choose to go there. Choose life, God said. Amen? And we do that every day by serving the Creator and choosing life. Amen? Tell your story. Without details, you can tell people what kind of a rascal you were. I mean, you don't have to give them all the stuff. Let's not be foolish. Let's not give them ideas of their own. Right? But you can tell them, hey, I went through some stuff, and God still loved me, and He still saved me, and He still redeemed me. When you tell your testimony, don't spend all your time on what you used to do for the devil, and then at the very end say, and Jesus saved me. That's not a good testimony. A good testimony is, I used to live for the devil and for myself, but then Jesus saved me. And guess what He's doing now? Amen? Let's point it all to Jesus. Because what you used to do isn't the important part. What God's doing in you now is the important part. Amen? We can also, as believers, we can learn to relate to people. Did you know that? That you can relate to people? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. For though I am free from all men, 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but rather toward Christ, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. Why is he saying it like this? He's saying, I found common ground with all of them. If they were religious, I found common ground, right? If they were living under the law, I found common ground. If they were living without law, I found common ground. He didn't say I became a sinner so that I could relate to them. He just said I found common ground with them so that I could relate and they could hear what I had to say. Amen? Because nobody wants a pious Christian talking down to them. Do you know what I mean by that? Just big-headed, big britches Christian. Just, yeah, I got it all. Nobody wants that. Amen? Paul said I became all things to all people, that I might win some. So be humble, because without Jesus, you were doomed for a pit. You were doomed for hell. Come on, He's the only reason why you can face life with smile and with joy. Amen? To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak, and I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Am I talking to believers this morning? I mean, come on, you guys, we are called to be disciples in the earth. I am grateful that we made Jesus the Lord of our life. Super thankful for that. But that's not where it ends. That's the beginning of the beginning for us. Come on, we are called from the second we make Jesus the Lord of our life to make disciples, to begin to show people Jesus, to encourage them and to lift them up and to call them when nobody else wants to call them and check in on them and text them. And come on now, we're to be in people's lives. And sometimes you insert yourself there when they are not willing. And sometimes God will put you in people's lives that you are like, are you sure? Are you sure? But you're the one that can reach them. You're the one that God put something in so that you can get to them. It's our calling of who we are. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Make disciples. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. This is in the commission that Jesus said right before He left the planet. If we don't ever see ourselves making disciples, come on, I'm talking about using your imagination and the Spirit of God and the Word of God to see yourself making disciples, to see yourself casting out devils, to see yourself laying hands on the sick and they recover. If you don't ever see yourself doing that, you will never step out and do it. Did you know that? Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do and only say what I hear the Father say. Why? He spent time with Him and God showed him how to do that before He went out and did it. We are all called to this. Do you know that? All of us. Come on, Addison, you're called to this. Amen. Doesn't matter our age or our predicament or our life, where we're at, we are all called to this. Think about that for a second. Close your eyes. Think about this for a second. We teach these kids who God is and who God is in them and that they can make disciples as 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds. And then they're playing, and they have a friend over, and they're playing, and their friend's got Coke bottle glasses on. But they just heard the sermon where they can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And they say, "Can I pray for you?" And Coke bottle glass kid says, "Sure." And he lays hands on his friend and says, "In the name of Jesus, eyes be restored." And that kid's eyes are open, and he can see. And he comes to his mom and says, "I don't need these anymore," and slides the glasses across to mom as she's visiting with the other mom at the kitchen table drinking coffee. And she's like, "What do you mean you don't need those anymore? You will not be able to walk without those." And he says, "I can now. Jesus healed me." Come on, what does that look like to a family when that happens? What does that look like to a family when that happens? And a kid is healed and touched by the power of God, because that's what God wants to do in the earth. And he uses us. And it's not always right here in this building, in this spot. It's in your homes and in your cars and in your yard and in the playground and at Costco. God wants to use us. How does that change a family's life when this kid who could not see now sees? You think they might show up to church and the whole family hear the gospel? I mean, the chances go way, way up, don't they? See, we got to, as believers, we got to think this way and talk this way and act this way. Amen? Till it gets so rooted in us that there is no doubt God is using me to minister, and I will step out in faith. Amen? Amen. You're called to do something. And this is the commission, that we make disciples, that we lay hands on the sick, that we cast out devils. Preach the gospel. All of us, that's all of us. So your story can preach. Amen? Your willingness to be available to people will preach. I'm not saying you're going to turn into a healing evangelist, right? There are gifts of healing in the body of Christ, and they function in that. That's how the Holy Spirit wills. And that's wonderful. But all of us can lay hands on the sick and see him recover. And there'll be times when God prompts you and you pray and there's a miracle that happens. It'll happen. It'll happen if you'll dare to see it. If you'll dare to go before God and let God show me what you want me to do and how that works. Because he will reveal to you your gifts. Amen? You know where your gifts shine? Where you find out what they are and how you can use them in the world? You're sitting in the building. This is where they shine. This is where you find out how to use them in the world. This is where we practice. This is faith school. You show up. You're faithful. God uses you, speaks to your heart. And you learn to hear from him. And then you take that home and you learn to hear from him in your closet when you're praying, in your prayer time, reading the Bible. Yeah? You guys remember Karate Kid? Who has not seen Karate Kid? Oh, nobody's going to admit it. Okay, good. Karate Kid, right? What's the first thing he got trained in? He shows up, he's going to learn karate from the master. What did he make him do? Wash the cars. Huh? Wax on? Wax on. Right? And then he's sore. And he comes back the next day. Guess what he gets to do? Paint the fence. Right? Up, down. Then what does he do after that? Sand the floor. And he's like, "What are you teaching me? What is going on? I came to learn karate." And then he shows him. "Show me, on the floor." Right? You remember? Am I talking to you? You hear what I'm saying? There's something to this story. There's things about coming to church and serving in kids and greeting and setting up donuts and running sound and singing on the worship team. This is wax the floor. Paint the fence. Right? You got to pick up trash. Guess what? That's wax on. Wax on. Right? And you're like, "How does this relate?" I'm telling you, it relates. Because you are giving of yourself to serve in the kingdom. And while you're not connecting it yet, God will use service in the kingdom to relate to people out there. And your defenses are good. Do you see this? This ties together. Come on, we're not just trying to gather groupies. This church needs to grow and continue to go to reach the lost. As many services as it takes, I'm not willing to shut the doors to anybody. Are you? I like this group. But there's more people we can reach because they need to hear these messages that God loves them and has redeemed them and there's no condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit can show up on a Sunday morning and you can get refreshed in your spirit like you never thought. Come on, it blessed me that the kids were singing this morning. I could hear them. They were belting it. Come on, it's good. We're teaching our kids right. Worship the Lord. Amen? You guys okay? I'm going a little long, but it's okay. Just buckle up. I got a couple more things I got to get to you. Find a way to relate. Amen? Counter resistance with truth. You can speak the truth in love. You can speak the truth in love, right? Sometimes you're just going to have to get in people's face and tell them the truth. But you can do it in love. You absolutely can. Come on, if they're heading for the cliff, if the bridge is out, sometimes you got to get in their face. And you got to tell them the truth. I'm concerned for your well-being. You're on a bad path. It doesn't end well. I can prove it because I've got scripture that dates back thousands of years that God proved himself right and true. In the New Testament, it's valid. And scholars have proved it on the secular side and on the biblical side. And this word tells us there's an end coming and we will give an account for our life. Come on, sometimes you just got to get in somebody's face. They're heading for the bridges out. What are you willing to do? I heard a friend tell a story one time. He was driving up a mountainous road, and there was a dead horse in the road that he just narrowly missed. Somebody had hit it ahead of him, and it was foggy, and it was night, and you could not see this thing. And he just narrowly missed it. And when he got around it, he actually backed up past it all the way back down the hill so that he could get out and flag people down and get them to slow down and tell them there's danger ahead. And people would swerve out of his way, honk at him, yell obscenities, fly around the corner, and wreck their cars. Horse is a big animal to hit with a car. And it was just car after car. And he was in the road, waving them down, stop, there's danger ahead. Finally got somebody to stop. Finally. Yeah? Somebody finally slowed down enough to roll down the window and yell at him for some reason. And he said, there's danger ahead. Come on, sometimes we just got to step in the road. Because they can't see. It's foggy and it's night and they don't know what's coming. But we can speak the truth in love. Paul told Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, that they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We live in that time. We live in that time. But people need to know the truth. Are you with me? Come on, there's people dying to go to, going to hell every day. Let's save as many as we can. Come on, let's row the lifeboat back to the sinking ship and save as many as we can. Because I'm telling you, your boat won't sink. When you go back for the others, your boat won't sink. God's boat doesn't sink. You can fill it full. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I think that's enough. God is good. We're commanded to be salt and light. Right? Salt flavors things. Gives them something palatable that you'll actually eat it. Come on, steak's better with salt and butter. But he didn't tell us to be butter. He told us to be salt. Be salt, amen? And be light, because the world's in darkness. But it's an act of our will. We've got to work at it. We've got to study. We've got to make an effort. Right? We've got to be hopeful. They've got to see something on us that's different. Let's do our job, amen? In this church and outside of these walls. Let's do our job. And God will look down and say, be pleased. Hey, there's one of my kids trying to save as many as possible. They're listening to the commission. Preach the word. Make disciples. Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They're doing what I asked them to do. Amen? Can I pray for you?